Insights Manager here at the Miami Downtown Development Authority, or Miami DDA, as you'll see us say. Also on the line, as you probably met, we have Priska Tomasi, who is our procurement coordinator and finance analyst. And she's going to be here to make sure that, you know, we are all tracking the way we need to be with this process and with any questions that you all may have. As we showed you throughout the agenda we have here, we're going to go through the RFQ overview, the description of services and qualifications. We're going to go through the proposal submittal, RFQ general conditions, instructions to proposers, evaluation and selection process, RFQ proposal checklist and required forms, along with a discussion with next steps for you all. So as I'm going through this, if you have any questions, again, for each section, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we are going to stop and have any sort of questions you may have come out. Now, we can't necessarily give new information outside of what you see within this document we have here, but I am and we are happy to clarify anything that, you know, may need to be clarified. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Thank you for your attention. And again, if I ask anybody to mute themselves, it's just because we may be hearing your microphone. So in terms of the overview, and for you'll see on the screen here, for those of you that came on your computer, if you have printed out the document and you're on your phone, we are just going kind of section by section. So in terms of the overview of what this process is, as you all can see, this is the Research Strategy and Analytics Services RFQ. What brings all these portions together is essentially that these are all going to be going into our reporting moving forward here at DDA. So as you see, the Miami DDA or Downtown Development Authority is seeking to create a pool of qualified research and analytics firms to provide data-supported reports for various initiatives and projects of the Miami DDA on an as-needed basis. So again, that part is very important. So we are in a time now where that can be up in the air and that can change, but again, it's an as-needed basis. The Miami DDA will use the data reports delivered to provide data points and analysis integral to the downtown district stakeholders. Now, these stakeholders, for those of you that are wondering, are not limited to, but do include investors, both locally and abroad, residents, potential residents and future residents, visitors and businesses that are existing here in downtown Miami. In terms of who is the Miami DDA and what are we as an organization, essentially we are an organization that oversees downtown Miami, which has emerged as one of the country's fastest growing urban centers. You know, we are a very dense area, so the product of vertical development is a testament to who we are and why we are a premier city in the United States. And the increased demand for urban living that we've seen, you know, at least up until this point. This is a new phase for the city of Miami overall. You know, in terms of the areas we act in as the Miami DDA, skipping down to where you see those bullet points, we do everything from strategic planning, market research, which of course would be this area here, marketing, business assistance and recruitment. This is very integral now. Clean and safe programs, so again, having our teams on the street. Capital improvement projects, community building, so doing a multitude of different things there. Land use and transportation planning, and economic programming and business recruitment. So this is just kind of a snapshot of what we do. As you'll see here, again, if you have any additional questions, considerations about who the Miami DDA is, of course, you can always Google us. You also can go to the website we have of miamiDDA.com. If we can go down. So before I get into the description of services and scope of work, does anyone have any questions on the overview of really the DDA, downtown Miami, or any of those parameters? All right, excellent. So now to get into the section where I would imagine that the questions would start to come up from. So essentially the Miami DDA, so myself, Priska, our team, we are seeking to establish a group of qualified firms to provide as needed, emphasis because again, the volume does shift from a full range of research services, including at least one of the following, but not limited to. So our first area is research panel provider. So this one, the qualifying firms should have experience recruiting a wide range of individuals to take part in research campaigns. So for this individual category, unlike what we're gonna see in a little bit, this isn't really as concerned with being able to put everything we're finding into a report. We're just looking for individuals and companies and organizations that have a reliable recruitment ability and that can get us individuals to talk to from a wide spectrum of life from markets that we've described as you see below. So from South Florida being the primary location, so South Florida being an urbanized 3-county or in total 4-county region, ranging from up north towards West Palm Beach down to the Keys, but with additional geographic focus areas of New York City. And again, this is looking in the metro area of New York City, Boston, Massachusetts, Silicon Valley or Greater San Francisco, Orlando, Florida, our neighbors just up to the north, Austin, Texas, Seattle, Washington, Denver, Colorado, Chicago, Illinois, and other top cities. Now, when we say top cities, that really is up to your interpretation as well as ours at the moment. So I can't really define what another top city would be, but I'd say these cores are important. We are also looking for access to individuals of varying professional status. So that is everything from college-level students, entry-level professionals, mid-level professionals, and C-suite or executive-level professionals. So across the spectrum of individuals working, and this isn't just one side in terms of white collar, blue collar, but this is across the board. Access to individuals ranging in age from approximately 20 years of age to 65 years of age. So again, we want to understand what the entire voice of the people is, not just one individual cohort or one individual group of consumers. The research panel provider will enable the DDA to understand the perception of Miami as a city, as a region, as kind of an idealistic area in someone's brain, downtown Miami, which again, the downtown Miami district as it pertains to the DDA, or a specific industry or topic from a varied group of individuals from a wide area. So again, the geographies you saw above, the people you saw above, the ages you saw above, and the professions is what we are most interested in here. And that is one area, so research panel provider. The next area we have is a little bit wider ranging. It is a full service research, marketing, research, economic strategy, or organizational consultancy firm. So this really is everybody that takes all of these analytics out there and puts it into a report. You would fit into this category here. So qualifying firms will have the ability to capture a Miami DDA provided need for newer updated metrics in specific areas of expertise. So again, we're not looking for one person or one organization does it all, but we do want to make sure you do have that level of expertise there to develop a research program around those needs we have. Now, specific areas of expertise that we've outlined in this RFP here, RFQ rather here, you'll see include, real estate, economic development, urban development, population studies, and Prisca, if we could just go back to the previous slide. Oh.
There you go.
Thank you. Economic development, urban development, population studies, and corporate organizational branding. Now, the corporate organizational branding would be for our organization in terms of foresight and looking forward to what comes for us in the future. Deliverables for full service research initiatives will be in the form of a report that meets the following requirements, and the report would be coming from you for us and for our consumers. Reports being between 15 and 50 pages long, a separate executive summary of maximum 5 pages, emphasis with visual and graphical representation, so not text heavy whenever possible. The DDA shall have access to all supporting data sets and transcripts that were utilized to create the report. So basically, we'll be able to utilize your data for other reasons as needed. Reports will be delivered by hard copy and digital version. All reports must be open to DDA questions and updates for at least 6 months. So basically a warranty, if you will. So if we come back with a question or a revision, being able to make those changes for up to 6 months after publish and after final end date. And reports must include a DDA logo alongside all uses of the consultant's brand name or logo. So again, this is a cooperative effort. This is something we want to collaborate on, and we want to make sure through the branding that is consistent. So when we get to what does this category in general look like in the other category, what are some specific projects we're looking at? So again, this was not meant to be exhaustive, but this is meant to be suggestive in terms of where we can be going and hopefully helpful to all of you on this line in terms of what comes next. So you can see looking at a downtown Miami real estate analysis in terms of residential, in terms of commercial, a downtown Miami natural asset study, So what is our natural components of downtown consist of? A transportation impact study, an open area benefit study, commercial real estate analysis. So what does our commercial real estate market look like? Corporate relocation study. What are our benefits of relocating to downtown Miami? What is benefits of leaving somewhere to come here? Things like that. An economic development study, business sector study, quality of life, pedestrian experience, economy evaluation of downtown Miami, resident segmentation study for more of the marketing side of things, resident buying or spending power study, again, trying to get more vendors here, the downtown Miami comparison to other cities, the downtown Miami resiliency or sustainability study, tourism analysis, and a SWOT, if you will, study. So strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, and finally a local favorability study. So for everybody on this line, this is not, again, exhaustive. This isn't meant to be exactly what's going to happen, but this is an example of what we are looking towards and for. Now, does anybody have, before I go further, any questions about this area of this call and of this process?
Nope, not so far. Thank you.
Excellent. All right, so we'll go ahead and get into section 3, please, Prisco. So what you'll see here is essentially you're going to go ahead and check off what you are applying for in this process. So you'll see, you know, are you submitting and what is your specific area? You can, of course, you know, check as many or as few as you want, as long as it is somewhere minimal of one and maximum of as many as we have. If you feel like what you provide doesn't quite fit any of these boxes, we do have that other category there as well. And as you can see, this form is necessary in order to have a qualified proposal that we can consider. Okay. So the next section here is just, you know, in terms of the qualification, what is the submittal requirements? For those of you on this call, that this is your first kind of competitive process, I must apologize, but we do have to stick pretty tightly to what we've written originally, just to make sure we are being fair to all stakeholders, both on this call and in the future. But essentially what we're looking for is a couple of different areas for your submission to make sure that you can be qualified to ultimately become part of our pool. The first one is a letter of interest and executive summary. The next one is a proposal profile, the strategic approach, and references. Now, what we expect for all these areas to come through is as one original, labeled original, one electronic copy on a thumb drive, USB, flash drive, whatever you want to call it, and 10 hard copies of the entire proposal. So again, from section 5.3, which we'll get into, which we do want to see what I just went into. So again, for letter of interest and executive summary, we want you to attach a letter of interest that explains your firm's interest in working on this project, right? So when we say this project, we mean anything related to this competitive process. Include an executive summary, which explains your firm's qualifications and experience as it pertains to this project and process. Also, please include the names and titles of the persons who will be authorized to make representations for the proposer. Now, the proposer, in terms of who that may be, we want the proposer to provide the following information regarding the firm. If you do intend to subcontract some of the work to another firm, we want to do the same exact process. So unfortunately, you're not going to be able to bring everybody into one. But if you do have another firm, we need this full information across the board with subcontracting. We want a history of your firm, including the year it was established, the names and curriculum vitae or resume of your firm's principals, including the amount of involvement the principals will have on this account, if any. We want a list of the ongoing contracts or projects with the current status and projected termination dates. So when are you going to finish these projects you're working on? We want an organizational chart and relevant work samples. For the approach, we're looking to prepare a research brief for one of the areas specified previously above, one or more, depending on, again, what you're qualifying for and what you're submitting for. The brief should demonstrate an in-depth understanding of the specific area or areas outlined, and should be supported by a research plan proposal that would come to the Miami DDA in response to the brief. The brief and proposal should consider the unique role of the Miami DDA as an advocate, facilitator, planner, and executor of strategies that strengthen downtown's appeal and Reality's top destination and place to do business. So again, we just want to make sure you understand and can demonstrate your ability to really show us through your data, through your findings, through your consultation, what downtown Miami can be, should be, and is. Finally, we look at the reference category. So we're looking for names, addresses, and phone numbers of three references that would be capable of explaining and confirming your firm's capacity to complete the scope of work outlined herein. So again, what we're asking for and what you're saying you can do, we just want references to be able to back that up. Are there any questions in terms of qualifications for the submission, requirements from anybody on the line?
Yes, can we go back to the previous page?
Of course.
Let's see. So just to clarify, you still want the 10 hard copies of the entire proposal, correct?
Prisca, what was the answer that we decided on for that?
Hello. Yes, we do require hard copies. And I have sent out an amendment. We have changed the timelines to give everybody a little bit more time and going through this situation and quarantine, but we wanted to ensure that you all have no issues in submitting your proposals. We have extended it to July 2nd so that you should be able to deliver the hard copies to our office by that deadline.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions before we move on to the next section?
Yeah, just a question concerning the research brief, just to be clear. So there'd be a research brief for each of the research areas checked, right?
Yes, exactly. So again, if you're applying to one, we just need one for one. If you're applying to seven, it would be seven, but 100%, just based on what you are selecting.
Is there any template or any more information you can provide as to what the brief should look like in terms of whether it be one page, is it a real brief, or and are there certain things you'd be looking for?
Certainly. So what I can say is that you will not be disqualified in terms of the length, but really what we're looking for is the content. So again, if it's one page, again, this will be analyzed by a panel of individuals. So that's great. Individuals can go through it in one page. If it's 30 pages, it would be the same thing. So I think it okay. really does depend. And I can't necessarily answer because, you know, let's say if you're applying for five different areas, it's going to naturally be longer than if it is just one area. But again, the main thing is effectiveness. So however long it takes you or however short it takes you to be effective, we welcome that.
Okay, thank you.
Of course.
And for the involvement of principals, is that something like percentage of time, for instance? Is that what you're looking for?
Right, so again, I know things will change, but we're looking for the involvement within what you'd anticipate for this project. So if you would just say, for example, I'm not sure what it's going to be, you can say historically this has been the involvement level of principals. And you can do either by hours, you can do by percentage of time, however you feel best kind of describes that category.
Thank you.
Of course. All right, if there aren't any further questions, we're going to go ahead and continue on. So in terms of the general conditions, you can see there's really two areas there. So acceptance or rejection. So the DDA, we reserve the right to accept or reject any or all responses to the selected proposers that in the opinion of us will be in the best interest and are the most advantageous to Miami DDA. The DDA also reserves the right to reject the response of any proposers who have previously failed to properly perform under the terms and conditions of a contract to deliver on-time contracts of a similar nature and who is not in a position to perform the requirements defined in this RFQ. The Miami DDA reserves the right to waive any irregularities and technicalities that may, at our discretion, withdraw and or re-advertise the RFQ. So essentially, the short end of this one is, we do, as you've seen, ask for references. So anything that your references or that you can testify to these items are very important for us. You know your organization better than we do at this point. The next category is not liable for delays. Again, I think that line is pretty self-explanatory. But in short, the Miami DDA is not liable for any delays that might be in the process. To the best of our abilities, we edit the calendar as need be. But in some cases, there are things that come up, whether it is, for example, a pandemic or anything of the sort that may require addendum to that schedule. Now, it's our goal to make sure that we are making as quick edits as possible and communicating those out to you all. But we do ask that you just bear with us and understand that we are not liable for delays. But that is not our goal, of course. The contract award and Miami DDA's rights. So the selected proposers evaluated and ranked in accordance with the requirements of this process, applicable City of Miami regulations, again, which we do include here, and state statute shall be included in a pool of research and analytic service vendors awarded an opportunity to negotiate a contract with the Miami DDA for any given project that will be coming out of our pipeline. The contract will be awarded and furnished by the Miami DDA, will contain certain terms as are in the Miami DDA's best interest, and may be executed for groups of projects or on a project by project basis. So again, there's a spectrum there that we want to outline. The contract will include several provisions, included but not limited to indemnification, insurance requirements, audit rights, open records compliance, because we do have sunshine laws here in Florida, and no discrimination. All contracts are to be executed, continuing contracts, as that term is defined by the Consultants Competitive Negotiation Act, which you can see there, 287.055 Florida statutes. The DDA, we reserve the right to make specific task assignments for individual projects by subsequent work orders issued pursuant to the awarded contracts. So essentially, you know, there is flexibility within that, but we do follow within the parameters that's required by locality, by the state, and by any sort of parameters that we have outlined, which you do have in a copy of this packet. Cost incurred by proposers. So all expenses involved with the preparation and submission of responses to Miami DDA or any work performed in connection therewith shall be borne by the proposers. So essentially, you know, if a cost comes up in terms of whether it's submitting this document or anything in the future, that would be ultimately with your organizations respectively. Legal requirements. So this RFQ is subject to all applicable federal, state, county, and local laws, ordinances, rules, and regulations. That in any manner whatsoever affect any and all of the services covered herein. Lack of knowledge by the proposer shall in no way be cause for relief from responsibility. So again, ignorance is not bliss in this case. Local preference. So local preference regarding this RFQ will be considered during the evaluation process for the provision of a specific service. Local preference form in the back of this RFQ is to be completed by entities that have a City of Miami occupational license. Non-appropriation of funds. So again, that one again is quite clear as well. So in the event no funds or insufficient funds are appropriated and budgeted or funding is otherwise unavailable in any fiscal period for payments due under the contract, then the Miami DDA, upon written notice to the consultant or his or her assignee of such occurrence, shall have the unqualified immediate right to terminate the contract without any penalty or expense to Miami DDA. This is without guarantee, warranty, representation being made of a pending project or relationship to any firms. Minimum qualification requirements. So each firm interested in responding to the RFQ must provide information on the firm's qualifications and experience, qualifications of the team, and manager's experience. This is something we are going to require as part of your submission. Public entity crimes. So again, a person or affiliate who has been placed in the convicted proposer list following conviction for a public entity crime may not submit a proposal in any part with this process. Resolution of protests. So any proposer who perceives itself aggrieved in connection to this RFQ or award of the contract may protest to the executive director or the head of our organization within 3 days of issuance of the RFQ, if a protest is of the RFQ solicitation, or within 2 days of recommendation of the award by the executive director is received or known by the proposer. And then that goes into additional terms about the protest. Moving on, Prisca. So review of responses for responsiveness. So each proposal will be reviewed to determine if it is responsive to the submission requirements outlined in the RFQ. So again, that goes back to just, you know, being direct and to the point is what we're asking here. A responsive proposal is one which follows the requirements of the RFQ, includes all documentation, is submitted in the format outlined in the RFQ, is of timely submission, and has appropriate signatures as required on each document. Failure to comply with this may deem you non-responsive, and that would ultimately impact your eligibility for this RFQ process. Collusion, the proposer by submitting a proposal certifies that his proposal is made without previous understanding, agreement, or connection either with any person, firm, or corporation submitting a proposal for the same services or with the Miami DDA. The proposer certifies that this proposal is fair without control, collusion, fraud, or other illegal action. The proposer further certifies that it is within compliance of the conflict of interest and code of ethics laws that we are outlined within this document and within the city of Miami and the state of Florida. The Miami DDA will investigate all situations where collusion may have occurred, and the Miami DDA reserves the right to reject any and all responses where collusion may have occurred. So again, that explains kind of why we have to really stick to what is written here in terms of explaining this documentation. Intellectual property. So again, making sure that anything that's developed under this procurement becomes a property in perpetuity of the Miami DDA. And that really is this overall section of general conditions. So I know there was a lot there. I'm sure many of you, not all of you, were able to review this in advance. So does anyone have any questions about general conditions as it pertains to this RFQ? All right, excellent. And Prisca, you have the instructions to proposers section.
Yes, so I am the administrative backbone for this process. I will be your main contact until the Miami DDA awards the pool and the firms of the pool. So we going to section 5, instructions to proposers, and I'm going through this just very briefly because I'm sure you've already read through most of this. Copies of this RFQ package can be obtained as of March. So it has been live for a few weeks now. And you can also email me or go to our website. Now, in terms of communication, the deadline for questions has passed. It was April 24th. We can no longer accept questions in writing in regard to this RFQ. Of course, if you do have administrative questions or you need help in compiling the information, you can reach out to me directly via email. And but the questions that will be asked during today's conference call, this is a recorded meeting. I will also provide you with meeting minutes and it will be posted to the Miami website. But after this, we will no longer accept them until the RFQ has closed and will be closed in August. You will see my contact information also all over this document, but on the page 11 in the bottom. Moving on. My contact information are on page 12 as well. Now, the submittal format, all submittals must be on 8.5 times 11 paper, neatly typed, foldouts accepted with normal margins and spacing. Handwritten responses will not be accepted. All proposal must include the complete proposal on a flash drive and USB. The original document package must not be bound. The document package copy should be individually bound, and an unbound one-sided original, labeled original, and 10 bound copies, so a total of 11 packages of the complete submittal must be received by the deadline, which has been changed to July 2nd. So the original and all copies, including the electronic copy, must be submitted in a sealed envelope or container, stating on the outside the respondent's name, address, telephone number, RFQ title, and submittal due date to Christina Crespi, our executive director. Now, going through these very difficult times, we're hoping that stay-at-home orders and everything else will be loosened a little bit by that time of the, by the first week of July. If not, of course, we'll stay in continuous contact with you. We'll update you if anything changes in regard to the timeline. If it doesn't, everything goes well and we go back to an almost normal life again, you will have, if you deliver it in person or you use a delivery firm, they can be left at the front desk and our receptionist is trained in logging all the information. If you are on this call, I have already received the registration form, which must be included in your proposal. The delivery deadline, as I mentioned before, has been moved up to July 2nd. We accept hand-carried submittals only between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., Mondays through Fridays, excluding holidays. Now, July 4th will be right after the submittal deadline. So of course you can, if you are planning on submitting your proposals ahead of time and nothing has changed in regards of, which I doubt, but please reach out to me before you plan on delivering it and then we can work something out. But usually the week of the deadline is fine to submit and we'll stay in continuous contact if anything changes, if you're unable to go to our office, etc. This document, and I have included it in the conference call invite, as well as the email that I sent out last night, includes the updated deadline. Submittal deadline has been moved to July 2nd at 5 p.m. Evaluation of proposals will take place from July 6th through July 24th. This is where our committee will be meeting. And the firm selection is will take place August 14th, which will be our last board of directors meeting for this fiscal year. Are there any questions thus far? Okay, great. So once we receive all submittals, internal staff, our staff, will go through each package. And this is a two-parter. So as Ivory mentioned earlier, he discussed during section 3.0, what has to be included in your proposal, which is the heart of your proposal. Then once we go through the items and nothing is missing, it will go and moved along to be reviewed by our committee. So following the opening of the proposal packages, the proposals will be evaluated by an evaluation committee, of which I am part, consisting of three or more members appointed by the executive director of the Miami DDA, which is the evaluation review committee. The committee will be comprised of appropriate Miami DDA board members, staff, and or members of the community. Please note that proposals will be inspected by DDA staff for responsiveness prior to evaluation. A proposal may be deemed non-responsive. It is not submitted to the proper in the required format or is not complete. Only those proposals deemed not responsive will receive further consideration. The Miami DDA reserves the right to accept, reject any or all submittals. It also reserves the right to investigate the financial capabilities, reputation, integrity, skill, and quality of performance under similar operations of each respondent. Once we move along and we hand all the proposals to our evaluation committee, the evaluation committee will first evaluate and rank responsive proposals on the criteria listed below. You'll see the chart in the bottom. The maximum score per proposal is 100 points. Each evaluation committee member shall award up to 100 points per proposal. The final score will be an average mean of the scores awarded by all evaluation committee members. And a proposal may receive the maximum points or a portion of the score depending on the merit of its proposal as judged by the evaluation committee. You'll see the detailed breakdown in the bottom. Now, upon completion of the evaluation, rating, and ranking, respondents to this RFQ that rank higher than 80 of 100 points will be accepted into the research and analytics services pool. Are there any questions? Okay, and again, this is an RFQ, so we're creating a pool of qualified firms. The Miami DDA may award contracts to vendors in the research and analytics services pool based on a quick bid process by which the Miami DDA requests a proposal and quote for a specific scope of work. So meaning once you have been awarded to be part of our pool and we identify projects throughout the next few years, you will be contacted directly and then we call that a quick bid process. We'll ask for specific work to be done, and then that's when we go into negotiations. And then the remainder of this package is just the response forms and checklist. Please include your registration form, the RFQ cover sheet, the certificate of authority. It has to be completed, signed, and returned with the response. We accept only originals. Please include originals. Remember, it's a total of 11 packages, of which one is the original package. That has to include the original form. And then depending of whether you're a corporation, partnership, joint venture, or individual, please include each of these forms. Then insurance requirements, it must be signed, primary office location affidavit, if applicable. If your office is not within the City of Miami boundaries, you do not have to include it. I like some respondents include the form and then just add a note, it doesn't apply, which is great. The barman and suspension certificate, which must be signed, conflict of interest, if applicable, and then lastly, complete response with all required documentations, which is the section 3.0. And then you'll see all the forms. Please do not make any changes to these forms. They have to be returned as they are. So no changes to content or layout, please. Are there any questions? I want to add, we have sent out and posted the amendment number 2, which is the change to the timeline. And we have also published the addendum number 1, which is the Q&As, all questions that we've received by the deadline, April 24th. And we added the answers and uploaded it to our website and sent the answers to all of our registered firms as well. We will be publishing the meeting minutes of today's conference call in the next coming week. Okay.
All right. Perfect. Thank you, Prisca.
Sure.
So before we adjourn today's meeting, does anyone have any additional questions about any of the steps we covered today? Because again, this is kind of the last touch point we have prior to going back into our silence. All right, excellent. So if there are no further questions, I thank you all for your time today and for your consideration of applying for this pool. Have a great day, everybody, and a nice weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.